Thank you for yesterday's event. It was really nice. Mazel tov to everyone for the Shlomo's Chelik base. With regards to the Shu'urim, Ms. Lerner sends a message that this should be up in Mirza Hashem, hopefully on Sunday. The Shu'urim that are on it are, I must say, some of them are mamash important, essential halachas. Okay. Only the first couple are quite fast. Afterwards, they are back to regular speed. Okay. We learned yesterday a little bit the concept of Schiras and Amaskiras, Sode Omechas Len Yehudi. Just to recap the concept, then we're going to see the Shulchan Aruch. I assume that we're going to finish all the Siman today. So the Shir, on the Sunday Shir, the first holiday Shir is Siman Reish Mem Dalet. So we're going to try to, we should be able to do the whole Siman tonight. Mi'atzah Hashem. Plineda. So the concept that we learned yesterday that is in terms of Shutfas with a Goy. What was the basic Yisoid? Basic concept? Yeah. Yeah, so that's true. That's step number two. Step number one is that generally the concept is that if you pay somebody per hour, who you pay for, you pay the goy to work for you for an hourly basis, on a daily basis, that's also on Shabbos. He's a shliach. He's working for you. If he's working on a commission-based work, then he's not working for you because ultimately he's making money. Everything that he's selling is making money from it, and that's why he's... That's why he's doing a dat and afshek of it. He's doing it for himself, and that's permitted. Similarly, if he's getting a flat rate for the business, that's also fine, because ultimately I meant a flat rate per hour, for the full piece of work. For the full piece of work. He's getting a flat, whatever. It's probably not flat, but it's not the right word. He gets a certain amount for the piece of work. Whenever he does it, it's up to him.
It's okay.
Oh, so in those examples, there is still a problem of my sign potentially. Sometimes there is, and sometimes there isn't, depending on various factors, which are going to be seen now, actually.
What else if you tell him even it's a flat rate, and he does it whenever...
Flat rate for the piece of work.
Yeah. And so he can do it whenever he wants.
What
happens if you tell him you must finish it, let's say by a certain time?
And when are you telling him that?
When you give him the contract.
When is it?
You say you've got to finish it by a Sunday, for example.
And when is it? That's on Friday. When are you speaking to him? When are you taking him the piece of work?
I'll give him the piece of work, let's say, during the week.
Maybe. Okay, then it's fine.
If you give it to him on Friday...
It's fine, because it's not... It's fine.
If you give him to him on Friday and say you must finish it by Sunday...
That would be problematic.
Yeah. Because he's going to obviously do it on
Sunday. If it's Friday... There's halachas later on. One of the recorded shurim is mamash about this very, very, very point. And it is a problem if you're giving him on Friday afternoon a job to do to complete by Sunday morning, it will be a problem.
There's also a problem, maybe somebody said, with posting on
Posting is a mefurash siman, which actually is uploaded. I mean, it is. Yeah. So nowadays, post is actually it's actually okay nowadays to send by post.
On Friday.
Yeah. Because it is a postal service who is in charge of that, and it's different. So it's no matter what. You're paying them actually for the piece of work. You're paying them. They're not directly working for you. So that's actually in line with the concept we are learning now. They're not working for you. Right, it's an agency, it's an authority, and there's no maris ha'ayin because nobody thinks they're working for you. Okay, so that's nowadays. There's actually more of a problem with post if you know the postman is a yid. That's much more of a problem because then it's not a shutfus with a goy problem. Then it's much far worse because then you're it's amir al yehudi. You're asking a yid to do melacha for you on Shabbos, and that's a problem. So if you're sending a letter to somewhere and you know that particular person receiving the letter, the postman over there is inevitably a yid. If it's a sofik, it's multiple. If it's definitely a yid, it's going to be a problem. Okay, so Rabbi says, Simon Reish Mem Gemal Seif Aleph. Lo Yaski Adom Echot, we spoke about the bathhouse. To not rent out a bathhouse, lein yudi to a goy. Mipnei Shenikra Al Shmo, because the bathhouse is a Yiddish bathhouse. He says on top, Kohen and Levi bathhouse. And everybody knows that it's a Yiddish bathhouse. So it's even if you are whatever the terms and conditions is, now we're learning that whatever the agreement was, whether it's a commission based or whether he's renting out for the whole day, whatever the agreement, it doesn't make a difference because you've got a Maris Hayin anyway over here. You've got a Maris Hayin that this is a Yiddish owned shop, part of house, and there's a problem Maris Hayin. Whatever happens. So that's step two. Did we call it step two? Yeah. So, generally, when you have a bathhouse, it's not a commission-based agreement. Normally, a bathhouse, commission of it. And people will say, people are saying, this bathhouse, he's a Yiddish-owned bathhouse, and the deal that he has got with the goy, the Yid must be earning money over here. The Yid is earning money. That's also, because at the very least, because of Maris Ayin. And he's hiring out the goy for this work on that particular day. It turns out that the goy, that's really the bottom. These are the critical words of the Shulchan Aruch, of the whole simon. Venimtza, it comes out, Sha'eni Yehudi, that the goy oise melocha, performs a melocha, beshlichusoi, as a shliach, has an extended arm, as a shliach, sheli son of the yid, and that's why it's also. If the yid sends a shliach a goy to do work for him, it is also. If the goy works on his, for himself, if he's making profit out of this, it's permitted. As long as there's no ma'aseh ayin. Aval sade muta, but a field is going to be fine. If the yid has got a field, nobody knows whose field it is. He's got this large field. He's got sheep and cows and cattle, and he's got all. It's got growth. You know what? Forget about animals. He's got produce growing there. And normally, it's a commission-based agreement. You've got fields and you've got things growing there. And then he says, "Okay, you know what? He's paying a commission for whatever grows. He's paying the yid commission." Oh, that's halacha. Is it's going to be mutter? Why? Because there's no ma'aseh ayin. And you're not paying the goy per hour or per day. You're not paying him. So he's not doing shlich. Whatever comes out from there, he is making money from. The goy is making money from the produce that is growing. The goy is making money. That's why it's not a shlichus. And it's permitted. Havol sodesh, mutter, she can derech lekabel sodeh varises. Normally, it's done in a commission-based agreement. You take, okay, it's all the tomatoes that are growing over here, I'm doing the work, I'm paying I'm paying the Yiddish owner. What's a reasonable percentage? What makes sense? The owner gets how much? Hope you make it a bit more realistic. The owner has 60 and the goy gets 40. Yeah, does that make sense? The owner, just for owning, is 60%. The goy who is doing gets 40%. So that, since that is the norm, that it is a commission-based agreement, and the goy, when he's doing all the work, when he's selling it and he's making money, he's not doing it as a shlichas of the yid. No, he knows he's making how much percent? How much did he say? 40% of each tomato that he's selling, of each, yeah. So he's making it for himself. Who is he working for? He's working for himself. The fact that Yid is earning money from this as well doesn't matter. So as far as shlichus is concerned, it's fine. What about Maris Hayin? It's no Maris Hayin because in fields nobody thinks that it's Yiddish field. Nobody connected to the Yid. Nobody thinks that way. People know, and people won't, and also people, if they do know what it says, they'll know that normally the agreement is a commission-based agreement. They know that. So first, they may not chap that it's a yid, and even if they do chap that it's a yid, it's the norm to have a commission-based agreement with fields, not like bathhouses. And that's why it is mutter. Even if they know that it belongs to the yid, it doesn't matter because everybody makes commission-based agreements when it comes to fields. The yid has not involved in this. The goy is working for himself. These are the key words. This is the crunch. He works for himself. V'tanu, what about a oven? If you're renting out, hiring out an oven, dinu kemechatz, it's like a bathhouse, that's a problem, because normally it's not rented out on a commission-based. You're not giving 50p of each challah that you are selling, you're not giving that to you. That's not normally the agreement. Normally the agreement of a bathhouse is you are paying him per hour, per day, and it would normally appear that it's a shlichus, and therefore it's also. V'rechaim, and what about a mill? V'rechaim, dinu kesoda, a mill normally, the agreement is also commission-based, and therefore it's going to be permitted, and also there's no Maris Hayin there. V'afalpi, and that's also the Ramo explains it a bit further. Ramo just goes over the Yesoid. V'afalpi, shaylok chayin yu direct l'shish l'reviyah. It could be that the goy only makes a certain percentage. A third or a quarter of the income is going to be his. And the yid gets genuinely benefit from these transactions that are taking place on Shabbos. He's earning money from it. Nevertheless, the goy is benefiting the yid by working on Shabbos. Sure, it's permitted. Why? The goy adaitei, the nafshei oivet, is working for himself. That means that the goy may only be getting 30% or 40%. But the agenda, why is he doing this malach on Shabbos? Why is he doing it? He's doing it for himself. He's doing it for those 30% that he gets. How are you going to say, but 60% goes to the yid's pocket? It doesn't matter. That's not what he's thinking about. That's not why he's doing the malacha. The malacha is done because of his own benefit.
Rechaim
is a mill. Yeah, but primarily, the answer is yes. But more importantly, or just as importantly, is that how is he normally perceived? The person who knows, even if the person knows this Yiddish mill, what kind of agreement does he assume this is? If he sees the mill working on Shabbos, what is he going to say? What's he going to say? He said, a mill is not normally, if he sees the mill on and he sees the goy working there, what is he going to think? He's going to say, okay, he knows that the yid is not paying him per hour. He's going to, he's making commission-based agreement over here and that's why it's fine. So it is, that's an element as well. Okay, see, base. Let us see the Mishnah Berurah over here just to see that. Siv Kotten Aleph. Say that again?
So far in this machabah,
yep.
Two examples of flat rate, the merakat and the tunnel.
Yeah, it's the same thing, yeah.
And then there's the rechaim and the sodeh, which are not
correct.
Both the same.
Correct. Same concept, yep. Now, what does he mean that the bathhouse is his? Does he make a difference as to whether he actually built the business? Or he purchased and acquired the business. Make any difference? When we talk about the merchatz being his, does it make a difference if you acquired the business or you created the business yourself? Does it make a difference or not? As opposed to if you bought the bathhouse of a goy. Right. Right. So the Mishnah Berurah Mamash says that it doesn't make a difference. Once you've acquired the business, it's yours. It doesn't make a difference if you actually made the business yourself, or you bought it. Sef Kotten Aleph in Mishnah Berurah says, Merchat Shalot Barthat says, Bein Shebono Le'atzma, whether you built it yourself, or Yafilu Kono, or even if you bought, you purchased this business, this enterprise, V'yoshabo, and you settled with it, Nikol Shmoy Alav, it's still considered his. Now, the Mishnah Berurah Sef Kotten Beis goes into a slightly different point, but it's very important for us to realize that. What happens if the person working for you is unfortunately not a yid? He's unfortunately not a goy. So you've got a shutef, you have a partner, the person working, doing your commission, but he's actually, he's a yid. He happens to be a yid. He can't hide it. He's a yid, but doesn't keep Torah mitzvahs. And he's quite happy to do it all on Shabbos. He says, don't worry about it. I'm fine, you know, I'm a Jew at heart. I'm a Jew at heart, you know, it's fine. I'm happy to have the mill running on the Saturday. It doesn't really make a difference. He's happy to do all the melachas, lamentas melachas, pehelem echot, on Shabbos. And he knows, yeah, you know, my mother was Jewish too, you know, that kind of thing. What's that locha then? Very good. So the Mishnah Berurah points out that everything we're discussing now is in terms of a goy. If it's a yid, it's far, far worse. If cotton based, lein yudi, kol shken leisrael mumah. If the yid is a mumah, he's gone off and he doesn't keep anything. It's far worse because then you're going to be oivon lifnei even mishachol. Could even be worse. Could be the meisu mediach. If a person makes a person do an avera, that is from the worst things. Yovan ben Nevat in Sefer Melachim, he's considered a person that will never, he was machti as a rabbin. The fact that you make other yidin do averas, that's even worse than you doing the avera yourself. The Gemara says, again, if you make somebody else do an avera, that is worse than if you actually do the avera yourself. And the Gemara also says that opposite actually. If you make another yid do a mitzvah, It's greater in some ways than if you do the mitzvah yourself. Somebody, if I convince somebody to give £1 million stocker, and I don't really have the £1 million stocker yet, yeah. But if I convince him to do the million, to give that stocker, it's greater than if I actually did the mitzvah. The opposite is true as well. If you make somebody do an aveira, that's far worse than you do the aveira yourself. Therefore, to have a Yiddish co-worker or shutter or partner or an employee that he works in Shabbos, that's very, very, very bitter. Very, very bitter. Yeah.
So the same would apply if the family's got mishpacha, which is not particularly for a lot of Shabbos, and they've got a simcha on Shabbos in the shul, and they know that the family's going to come.
It's a massive problem. I don't know what the heck that is. It's a massive, massive, massive problem. Absolutely. Yeah, it's mamash. It's a problem. There's certainly no way a person can encourage them to drive on Shabbos. That's what the law of Poskim.
You know, if you invite them, you know for certain they are going
to
come.
Yeah, it's a very, very, very difficult shaila to answer because Pashtos, if they would not do the simple approach in this shaila, in this very serious shaila, the simple approach is that if you cause them to drive on Shabbos, you are doing a very much that you're machti them to cause, you're causing them to do an avera. There is some more lenient approaches among some of the poskim. Some poskim have a more lenient approach, and they say that if a more global approach, and they say either if you are, if they, by coming to you, at least then you know that they are going to be eating kosher and they're going to keep Shabbos in the couple of hours they're with you, then at least you're saving them from Chilul Shabbos in that time and they'll drive anyway. But it's a mechudishtik approach. That's not the conventional way of thinking. Conventional way of thinking, halacha, what the Moshe writes and the Mishnah Mezamen, is that if you cause somebody to come for your simcha on Shabbos, it's a very, 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 it's don't know what the Pashtos days say. It's awesome, but if you have if you tell them in advance you don't want them to drive, and they after they do whatever they want, okay, that's that could be okay. But you know, it's very, very difficult to invite somebody you know that can't possibly walk. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, because Lifnei Iver doesn't go with this get of Adat and Nafshei. Lifnei Iver is if you cause somebody, you enable somebody to do an Aveira, that's called Lifnei Iver. It doesn't go with Adat and Nafshei, which is a concept with regards to Shutvus.
So by you renting the field to him,
that's Lifnei Iver, yeah.
Because he's not able to use it on Shabbos.
You're saying, why is it Lifnei Iver?
Yeah, I'm just kind
of... Yeah, yeah.
So then, those would be the same. If I lend him my pen...
Yeah, so with regards to giving a pen to somebody who's going to write on it, so there is a concept of that if he could get a pen without any problems without you, and then there is Tosfos says there is no lifnei iver. If there's two pens there and you're giving a pen, but you know that there's another pen lying in front of him, lifnei iver wouldn't apply. But a mill, arguably, is not going to get so easily get hold of a mill without you. Okay, yeah. Yeah, if it doesn't listen to you, so you're saying that if you're telling him not to come by car and it doesn't listen to you, but the matter is you've done your part.
Hey, but what if you didn't tell him, just invite him, but you know if you tell him it doesn't listen to you, then maybe he's saying
I mean, that reminds me a bit of Abshalom Zalman. You're touching on Abshalom Zalman. Abshalom Zalman says, he speaks about giving somebody food and you know he's not going to make a brocha. So the same concept again, you're causing somebody to eat without a brocha, which is also... So Reb Shlomo Zalman is a little bit mekel, and that's in the Shuvas. He writes that down. He says that if by telling him, listen, you make a brocha, and enforcing him, and that's going to cause us some sourness and bitterness and some general dislike of the form world. So Reb Shlomo Zalman has got a chiddush, and he said that you're allowed to do it. If you feel you're pushing it, Reb Shlomo Zalman is in terms. He said a chiddush with regards to brochas. He said that if you know that it's going to generally cause a sinner to Yiddishkeit and to Torah and to Halacha, there's room for leniency. But that's something he's mechadosh with regards to Brochus. Okay, we have to carry on because Afilu Mechatz or Itanu. Now, what about if you've got a Mechatz, a Barthaz or a Tanu, a oven? So you rented this, hired out for years now. So you had this bathhouse, but you made a few years contract with the goy. Or you had this oven, which is taka generally yours, but you made a 3 years contract with this goy. When it's passing out over, and it's through that it's become well known. It's become quite a well-known thing that generally you're not hiring out your own workers, but it's hired out. The whole property has been hired out for the goy. Or similarly also, if the whole place generally, not necessarily you, but generally the minig is to not to pay per hour, but to pay for the full. For the even with the merchatz and atano, if generally it's commission based agreement, that's example number two. Motal askirum leinu di olitam berusis, then it would be permitted again. So this concept over here is said that if the generally the onlookers will look at it as a commission based agreement, even with merchatz and atano. There is no marisa and it's permitted. I have to carry on. If that's an interesting case. What happens if you've got a deal with the goy? You've got a bathhouse or you've got a tunnel which belongs to the goy, and you hired it out, you rented it out from the goy, and now you have sublet it to a goy. So you have, there's three parties involved. There's a genuine owner who is a goy. There's a person actually using it now, renting it out now, making money from it now. He's a goy as well. But you're the person in between. You have hired it out and you have subletted.
So you've got the yeah. Landlord, if you want, who owns it?
Owns it.
He sublets it to a yid.
Yeah.
And then the yid sublets it to a goy.
Yeah. So that what the Shulchan Aruch says, that's fine because nobody is misachsed to the yid anymore. Nobody looks at it as a Jewish own oven or a Jewish bathhouse because people will look at it from both sides. Yeah, he will, but nevertheless, it's fine. There's no maris or ayin involved as long as obviously you're not paying per hour. If it is a local bathhouse and only people who are living there only the people living are using it, and they know that it's rented out from a goy, sure it's permitted. Again, there's no maris ha'ayin. If it's just local people, then we make it in terms of maris ha'ayin. V'im ovav iskira, now the Shulchan Aruch continues. V'im ovav iskira b'makom ha'osu. What happens if you have a deal with you rented it out by Issa, there's maris ha'ayin involved. You rented it out to a goy, you've let it out to a goy, and there's maris ha'ayin involved. Whether it's a bathhouse, whether it's an oven, whether it's a and there's maris ha'ayin. People will look at it as being yours, and people think that you're paying per hour. What's the halacha then? Some say that, but the evet, the earnings that you've made from it, is permitted for you to use. Some say that no, actually, any money you've benefited from maris ha'ayin, you're not allowed to use. You can't take the money. Again, you have an oven, and people look at it at a mill, and people generally look at it as it being yours, and you've rented out to a goy, and people look at it and they say that the Yiddish is employing going to work for them on Shabbos, and there's maris ha'ayin involved. Shulchan Aruch paskens that one man d'omer says that you're not allowed to benefit from the money, and some say that some say you are allowed to benefit the money, some say that you're not allowed to benefit the money. Mishnah Berurah and the Ramah paskens v'chenikah, you're not allowed to take any benefit from money which was made from an issur maris ha'ayin. Okay, Rabbi, so we'll finish over here. Fine.